Hey guys, I am excited to be here another week with Move Makers. And this week I am with Gina Luker, and I'm excited for you guys to get to know her and hear about where her business and life has taken her, and all the good things. She is an amazingly talented lady who has been an inspiration for me and my business for several years. And so I'm excited for us to sit back, talk real life, and for you guys to get to meet her. Hey, Gina, thanks for being here.
Hey there. Thank you. Thank you so, so much.
I'm excited for my listeners to get to meet you, but selfishly, I'm excited just to spend some time and talk with you too.
I'm actually feel the same way. I'm feel like crazy giddy to be able to sit and chat with you for a while. So yay, I'm a huge fan of yours. So
this
is kind of a treat for me.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, lady. Why don't we get people to know your business name, maybe what you do and where you're located?
Okay. I am, of course, Gina Luker. I'm the blogger behind the shabbycreekcottage.com. We live outside of Nashville, way in the middle of nowhere, which is kind of awesome. And I've been a blogger for a long time, and for almost 2 years now, I've been a designer with Chalk Couture, and I love, love, love that.
I'm excited to talk about that and that pivot that you took from full-time blogging to the designing for Chalk Couture, which I do know you love because I watch your videos, and it's so exciting to see that. Let's get started with the beginning. Why did you decide to start your own business?
Well, I didn't technically start a business. I didn't start blogging so that because now, like, people start a blog with the intention of making money and turning it into a business. But I started a hobby. I'd had a mom blog for about 2 years, and nobody ever read it outside of, like, my mom and my sister. And so we started remodeling our house, and I decided to start a brand new blog just to kind of be a digital scrapbook of the changes to our house over the course of time, because my kids helped with all the renovations, and so I wanted them to be able to look back and see, you know, the things that had happened. And magically, people started reading. Nobody had ever read my other blogs, so I didn't think anybody would read this one, but people started reading, and then more people and more people. And it was only a year after I started this blog that I quit my day job, which is insane to me, because I wasn't trying to start a business. I was just trying to start a scrapbook. So it kind of grew from there.
That's so cool how just something that you were like, hey, I just want to keep this scrapbook, changed your world of your life.
It changed everything. I cannot say everything enough, because, like, we were struggling financially, and, like, you know, it was just, it's been a blessing in every sense of the word.
Yeah, it's been cool to get to know you and know some of those struggles behind the early days of just the struggle of getting going once you discovered that, oh, wait, this is a business. I can take it somewhere. And then you're also pretty open about the pressure that was on you to continue to produce content.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Once it became a business, then there was a lot of pressure to, you know, keep your readers happy, pressure to, you know, the first order of any business is to stay in business. And so when it became my income, like, I had the pressure of making money that way. And we can talk about it a little later, but eventually my husband quit his job, and so then I became the sole source of income for our family, which my kids were all grown by that point. But, you know, that was even pressure, because then you're not just providing an income and paying for a mortgage, you're also paying insurance and paying all the taxes and all of those things as well. So, you know, it just kept getting deeper and deeper, I felt like. But, you know, it was totally worth it, and I wouldn't change a thing.
What is the best thing about running your own business?
Honestly, like, can I be candid?
You can be totally candid.
Awesome. Okay. So the first thing I love is, like I said, our kids are grown, so we're empty nesters, and neither one of us have quote unquote real jobs. And so we can live life on our terms. Like, and I can work anywhere in the world, pretty much. If I have a Wi-Fi connection, like, I'm good to go. So, you know, there are days when it literally happens when we'll wake up and I'll be like, hey, you want to go to the beach? And he's like, yeah, when do you want to leave? And I'm like, 3 hours. And he's like, okay, let's go. Like, that's the dream, right? Where you can just pick up and go whenever you want to go. And we do that a lot. Like, well, we don't travel during the summer, but in the winter we travel a lot. And that's kind of how it goes. I go to bed when I want to go to bed. I get up when I get up. If I don't feel like working today, I don't have to work. And you know, once you've built a sustainable business online, especially, even if you don't want to work, you're still making money. So that's the best part to me.
I love that you're just like, you know what? I want to go to the beach today. Let's go to the beach. Like, I have Wi-Fi there. If I want to do some work, I can. That is so fun. And it is part of the last Christmas. We went down to one of our friends' house that lives in Nashville. And we spent 7 days down there just hanging with them. And her husband works with her. And my husband is an entrepreneur, and so am I. So we have our own businesses. And that was so cool just to be like, we're spending 7 days somewhere.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do it that way, huh?
It is. So the best thing always is exciting to hear, but let's talk about some of the struggles. And what has been your biggest struggle?
I think I have a couple of the big struggles. I'm very open and honest about the fact that I have bipolar disorder. And I have a lot of anxiety and depression that stems around that. I do take care of myself, like, and all those things. But still, I mean, it's a struggle. Even with medication and taking care of yourself, still comes the daily struggle of, you know, there are days when I don't want to leave my house, which is usually okay because I don't really have to leave my house. But, you know, it's still a struggle whenever you have to talk to people and that kind of thing. So there are internal struggles as far as things I can't control. And then there are times when you make mistakes because you listen to external sources, and those external voices, when you're not sure what to do yourself and you put too much faith in other people and what they want from you versus what you want from yourself, it can cause problems in the fact that you may end up doing something you're not happy with. And, you know, that's been probably, other than the bipolar thing, it's probably been my biggest struggle. Is I had this, you know, distinct about 3-year span in my business when I was trying to do the thing that other people were like, you're so good at this. And just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's where your heart is. And so I had to learn that. I had to learn to listen, to just be still, and to pay attention to where I was supposed to be and not what where other people thought I was supposed to be.
That is good, because that's really good, because I think a lot of times, you know, we seek others for advice and we forget that just because of where they see us, that's not our heart. That was really good. That was for someone.
Thanks. I hope it helps somebody. I really do. Because we go through these trials and these tribulations, not only to make us stronger people, but hopefully to make the people around us stronger as well. Because if they don't have to go through that struggle, and they don't have to go through that 3-year-long fight, if they can listen to a 1-hour podcast and be like, oh, wait, what did she say? If they can take away and not struggle for 3 years, it was totally worth every minute of the struggle I had to go through to teach somebody else not to do that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I know that I, you know, my ebook that I wrote in like this last year, like if I can help someone not sit where I've sat for a year, it'll be worth it in the end. So we've talked about struggles. Let's talk about one more thing that is like my favorite F word in the whole world. Are you ready for it? It's failure.
I was about to say, it's probably not my favorite. But yeah, failure's a good one.
It's my favorite F word. And it's failure, because I think that failure has has been a bad word and one that's just evil. But I think it's kind of like what you touched on, like that struggle. And failure is pulling yourself back up and doing it different and walking different. So would you mind sharing like maybe a failure and what the outcome was?
Oh, word. I've had lots of failures. Just something as simple as writing a blog post that literally nobody read, or creating a lead magnet that nobody signed up for. There's simple failures, and then there are epic failures. And then sometimes, though, the best lessons disguise themselves as failures. It doesn't mean that what you were doing was completely a failure. It's just a setup to propel you to do something better. Does that make sense?
I love that. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't ever think it was a failure. I spent about 3 years teaching bloggers. I still have some tools and resources and books and that kind of thing, which haven't been updated in forever. But I spent about 3 years teaching bloggers. And although I love helping women grow businesses, I kept trying to do that and kept trying to make it work from every different angle that I could. And I did it up until the time that I had a business coach. I had an amazing business coach. I don't know if I can say your name, but.
Yep, if you want to, go ahead.
Awesome. So I had an amazing business coach. Her name is Brittany Bolin. She's, you may have seen her. She's like the nerdy girl marketing. She has like these big pink glasses. She is amazing. And I was trying to record a webinar for a course I had just built. And I built the course, then the course turned out pretty good. So we're trying to build this lead magnet, you know, for a webinar, blah, blah, blah. And I was fighting with this webinar. Like every time I would record it, I would just sound mad and frustrated instead of light and bubbly and happy, which is what you're supposed to do when you're talking about Instagram, right? You should sound happy if you're the one that answers. And so I had recorded it like 4 or 5 times, and every time I would send it to her, she's like, you need to go do something, like go do something happy. And then go back and try again. And so I would do that, and then I would go back. And she's like, this just, it doesn't, something is not right. And so we had this big, long phone conversation about how maybe I should put it on the back burner, and maybe I should really dig deep and think about what it was that I loved. And here it was, I'd spent weeks creating this course about Instagram, and I love Instagram, but I had spent weeks creating this course, and I had spent all this time and this effort, and she's like, let's not promote it yet, put it on the back burner. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I hired you to help me with marketing and business stuff so that you could help me get this up and running. And she's like, I'm telling you, just put a pin in it. And I was like, okay, fine. So we had this big conversation about what actually made me happy and was this more frustrating than it was, I don't know what the word I'm looking for was, but was it more frustrating than it was fulfilling? That mm-hmm. was what she asked. And it totally made sense. Like, it was almost like she flipped a switch in my brain, because it had become more frustrating than fulfilling. Like, just a few months before that, maybe 3 or 4 months before, I had to take a break for like 2 weeks. And literally, like, I remember, I guess this is part of the failure moment. I was like dealing with a pretty deep depression, even though I'm highly medicated, I was still dealing with depression. And I told my husband, I was like, if I don't take a complete break, I'm literally going to have a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And on, it was either a Monday or a Tuesday, I booked a cruise and we left that Sunday, like total last minute decision. Decided not to buy the internet package, so I couldn't get online from the time I stepped on the boat till the time I got off of the boat. The first time in over 20 years I had gone a week without the internet. It was amazing, by the way. And it was like, I realized when she was like, you need to put a pin in this and figure out if it's frustrating or fulfilling. I realized that that moment of taking that cruise and the whole time I'm there, like, I slept a lot and I read a lot and I meditated a lot and I prayed a lot. And I just kept thinking, I just need to be still. I just need mm-hmm. to be still and the answer will come. Like, whatever's wrong, the answer will come if I just be still and know. And then a couple of months later, I hired her, and it was just like her, the way that she thought of things and the way that she explained things helped me to understand that that wasn't the path for me. It was the path that other people wanted me to take. And not because they didn't have my best interest at heart, but when this is going to sound really bad, you know, that either failure or fulfillment, she had to help me like dig deep to figure out what that was, and learning to let go of this thing that I felt like a failure. I felt like I had literally fell, like physically just fell face down in the dirt. And there was this thing that I wanted so badly to do. Like, I wanted to help women so badly to be able to support their families and follow their dreams. But yet it just never worked. It was just not, I was moderately successful at it. I mean, I, if I'm being honest, like, some people, if they had found the level of success I did, they would have been ecstatic. It just wasn't enough for me. And it wasn't, the return wasn't, the financial return wasn't as rewarding as the effort that I put in. To it, because when I put my heart into something, like, I'm a very all or nothing kind of girl. Like, I am all in, or like, I just have no interest at all. So, you know, I wasn't getting back what I needed to make it actually survive and thrive. And the frustration of not succeeding on the level that I wanted to, it was a doozy. It really, truly was. Oh, I haven't really talked about this with anybody. I think I kind of lost my train of thought. But yeah, walking away was, it was hard, but it was what I had to do to keep from losing myself.
Yeah.
That went really deep, really fast, didn't it?
That's okay. I love it. And I think that I can completely relate to that. Just the year that I've had when I, you know, so it really touches my heart. And there's someone else out there that really needs to hear those words, because, you know, so often we talk about a failure or a struggle, and it just is, this might be bad saying, but it seems like more of a superficial like struggle, like, oh, this product didn't roll out right and, you know, whatever. But in business and in what we do, we use so much of our heart and we lead so much of it with our heart. And so that's just your heart, girl. That was where your heart is and was and all things.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there's moments when you compare yourself to other people, and I try to only run my own race. Like I try to kind of keep my blinders on and keep my head down and look at my numbers and look at my wins and my successes or my failures. But in a world of teaching people to be successful, you kind of have to prove your success, and you do that oftentimes by revealing numbers like stats, and I've made 7 figures this year, or I've made whatever the number is. It gives you more believability, and it makes you more, it makes people want to learn from you. If you're making 7 figures, like, I want to learn how to do that too.
Right. And
seriously, Angie, if you're there, like, teach me your secrets. But
we're rebooting here.
I got you, because I did that this year too. But like, you kind of have to be able to tell people what those numbers are, and maybe not down to the number, but when people start talking about, I made 7 figures or I made 8 figures, and I'm like, I am barely making payroll here. Like, there were months when literally I was barely making payroll. And I realized that I was comparing myself to other people way too much. Mm-hmm. And that's part of, I think that's something that almost everybody does, is like, we compare ourselves to other people. And man, when you're already struggling to make payroll, and then you feel bad because everywhere you look, all the way around you, everybody looks like they're succeeding and you're drowning. It like amplifies it, you know? It really, truly does.
But I love what you said.
First time I've done.
Yeah, when you look around though and you see everyone, it's just looking, you know? I think so often we're like, oh man, look what she's doing, look what she's doing, look what she's doing. And we don't know the inside. Like, we don't know what really happens behind when they close the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's there.
It's very true.
So we've talked about struggle and we've talked about failure. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about strength. Mm-hmm. What would you, let's talk about
that. That's a strong word.
It is a strong word, isn't it?
No pun intended.
What do you feel or know? What are your biggest strengths in business or in life?
I have one strength. I will tell you that there is nothing on this earth that I'm particularly talented at. I'm not an exceptional mom. I'm not an exceptional wife. I'm not an exceptional painter or crafter or DIYer, or I like to think of myself as a good writer, but I'm not an exceptional one. I'm not exceptionally talented at anything in life, but my number one superpower is I am the most tenacious person in any room. Tenacity will win over talent any day of the week. And talent has very little to do with success. It is mostly tenacity. Because you can hire people to do the stuff that you don't know how to do. But you have to be tenacious enough to stick with it, even when things aren't going well.
I love that. And you know what? I can relate to that. Like, it's just that tenacity that keeps me going. So I love that. That was good, girl. That was good.
Thanks.
So I know that you've made a pivot And let's take a second. It's not on our questions that I sent you, but it's okay. I'm gonna throw this one out there. Let's talk about the pivots for a second, because you know, my listeners know that I'm in a pivot, and I know that you've been pivoting because I follow you and watch you. So let's talk about your pivot and where it has led you and what you're doing, because you love what you're doing right now, I think.
I love what I'm doing. I love it. Like, I feel like one of my customers this morning told me, she was like, I really do think you were made for this. Like, I think this is like, I could not imagine you being better at anything than this. And I was like, that's like the ultimate compliment when, like, from a customer, right?
Right.
Like, not just a friend, but like a customer, which is amazing. So yeah, I took a huge pivot. I didn't tell you, like, back before the teaching thing, when I was literally just blogging and I had my blinders on and my head down, and I was just, you know, knocking out content post after post after post. And I did that for a long time. Like, it used to be a lot easier. It used to be you would write a blog post and then you would share it on Facebook and put it in an email and pin it a few times, and, you know, the traffic came in and the world was great. And then, you know, about 4 years ago now, Pinterest changed its algorithm and, like, the whole blogging world was turned upside down. Like, literally. I never recovered. I went from 3 million page views a month to 300,000 page views a month over the course of about a year. And it's weird though, because the more page views you have, the less your do you know what RPM is, where the amount of money you get paid per 1,000 page views.
Right.
So your RPM is lower when your traffic is really higher. So it was really weird that, like, you would have thought I would have lost 90% of my income because I lost 90% of my traffic. However, it didn't really happen that way. I only lost about 25% of my income, but it became such a struggle every day. And, like, it kept getting harder and harder and harder. Google needs this and Pinterest needs that and Facebook wants this and email needs that and rules and regulations. And it just got so hard that this thing that I loved, like, I'm a writer, like, I'm a bona fide writer. Like, I got the college paper to prove it. And I've written an actual, like, order on Amazon kind of book. I love blogging. I love writing, and I do still write, but it's all personal, like, journaling type stuff. But the whole, like, song and dance of blogging, it just sucked the joy out of it. And there was no joy left in it for me anymore. I still create content. I just don't write blog posts anymore. I haven't written any new content in months and months and months now. But that, and like I said, it doesn't mean that I don't create content. I create content every day.
Right.
It's just not written anymore. You know, it's just a different type of content in on a different platform. And I never thought I would be to where I am. And so that pivot was really, it kind of came out of nowhere for me. It's a lot more fun, I'll tell you that. I can be completely done and have the promotion aspect of what I want to do finished in, you know, 30, 45 minutes versus spend 3 hours, write a blog post, spend another hour to make 10 different pins for Pinterest and then schedule that out and then do this. And it's just like a never-ending to-do list of things for a blog post. But I predominantly do Facebook Live now. So I'm like, okay, today we're going to make XYZ, and this is what we're going to make. And, oh, it's done. Ta-da. 30 minutes later, I can go on and do something else and got to make something pretty to boot. So, it's a complete 180 from where I was before. That little spot in the middle was a little bumpy, but yeah, I don't know that I really fully answered your question, but yeah.
You did. And it's been fun. I remember, back when, Sarah goes, "Hey, you'll never believe who's coming into the Chalk Couture world." And I'm like, "Who?" And she's like, "Gina." And I'm like, "Oh, that she's going to be fabulous just because of your personality and all of that." And so I've been excited to see that journey of you being a designer and doing all your fun Facebook lives. And it's funny because you were a lady who was all written, like everything was written, and now you're video. And it's just been fun to see that transition. And so, like you said, that middle was bumpy, but I think that someone who's sitting there like, "But this is just what I am known for. This is just what I've always done." It's okay to make that pivot, because the other side could even be more amazing.
Oh yeah, the other side is really sweet. Like, if you're pivoting because it's what you want to do and it's what your heart tells you to do, and it's not because it's what somebody else expects of you, it's like you have to dig deep down inside and you have to ask yourself, am I making this choice for me, or am I making it to impress somebody in my life, or to impress people I don't even know online, or am I making it to try to make myself feel more successful? Or like, are you doing it for the right intentions? And if you did a little digging and you realize that the pivot that you want to make is for the right reasons, it's turning you towards something that you truly love, not that you just think that you love, or not that you think it's what you should be doing, but it's something that you would do even if you didn't get paid for it. That was the thing that Brittany asked me. She said, "What would you do if you didn't have to worry about money? Let's say you won the lottery. You won, $100 million Powerball, right? But then you have to do something with your time. So what would you do if you didn't have to worry about money?" And I was like, "I'd probably go chalk something, because like chalking is the best thing ever, right?"
Right.
Like, it blows my mind in this day and age, not to just talk about chalk couture, but it blows my mind in this day and age that people still use craft cutter machines, because I'm like, I could be done before you even like open your computer to turn your thing on. Like, I can be completely done. Like, I can be cleaned up and like going to read a book or something before you can even get started. So it was the thing. Like, I was doing, in that pivot moment when I was so stressed out and I was so frustrated all the time, like there would be days when I wouldn't know what to do, and I would be so irritated and just grumpy, and I'd be like, "I just need a minute." And literally I would clean off whatever surface I was working on. I would pull out products and I would just make something I didn't have to photograph or film. Nobody would ever see it. Like, it was just something that I did for my own sanity. And when I realized that was the thing that I did for self-preservation, that was where I was supposed to be. So it was a huge pivot for me, but it was so good. It was just so good.
That is cool. That self-preservation. What do you do? Okay, girl, that was, thank you for my counseling session. You can put your bill in the mail. That was for me.
I have to tell you though, I kind of I signed up to be a designer, and then I didn't really do, I think I did like 4 Facebook Lives in my first year. It took me a full calendar year from February 2018 to February 2019 to actually decide that, okay, this is what I want to do now. Like, I signed up sight unseen. I had never touched it. I didn't even see a video of how to use it. Sarah, my amazing friend, Upline Sarah, she sent me a video, and she was like, okay, this is how you do it. And she didn't actually do it. She's like, you take this thing and you peel it off and you lay it down. And like, she didn't do it. She just walked me through the motions. And I didn't even finish the video. And I was like, we got to talk. Like, and and I signed up within an hour of seeing that video, because it was like, oh, this is the best stuff ever. And I did love it. And I was doing it personally all the time. Like, I would say 2-3 times a week, I would pull stuff out and make something, because crafting is therapy. I mean, it's been scientifically proven to do that. But it took me a full year to decide that, okay, this is actually something I want to do. So if you have an idea and you think that's where your heart wants to go, give it time, because if you give it time and it's still there and it doesn't budge, eventually life will make room for it to grow.
That was good. That was really good. Do you know, I did chocolatier when I was like number, I don't know, it's like 20 something. And it's when I had both of my brick and mortars, and I was decorating and painting furniture and cabinets, and I just couldn't do all the things. So I had people under me. I completely like, and I still use it. Like, I still do videos showing it. I love the product. Like, I adore the product. So, but I had to let it all.
You're trying to pivot. I said, you're trying to pivot. You can come join my team. I'll take good care of you.
I love it. Yeah, it was, yeah. And I was under Sarah too, so. But let's talk some fun things. Okay. Not on the list, but just some things. Like, are you a podcast listener or a book reader?
A book reader. I do listen to a few podcasts, not very regular. There's a couple that I've really kind of gotten into lately. But I'm a book reader. Look, I can read a book. I can sometimes read a book faster than I can watch the movie. I know that sounds insane. I can read a paperback book, an average size paperback book, in about an hour and a half. So I'm a book reader.
You are a book reader.
I am a book reader.
Can you tell us some of your favorite books? Or what are you reading right now?
Are we talking about fiction or nonfiction?
I don't care. Tell us whatever you want. So
if you want fun, geeky stuff, like, I have this really weird obsession with, like, the history of pirates. And I'm reading a nonfiction book that's, like, the true history behind some of the world's most famous pirates, which is really cool. For fiction books, I like Janet Ivanovich, her Stephanie Plum series always cracks me up. It's probably the only series that I actually read. I read a lot of nonfiction. I love Jen Sincero's books. Her books, I read them over and over and over again. Bobby Bones has got a couple of really great books that I have read. I don't even know how many times. Those are probably right up there with Jen Sincero for me. There's some people that I've read their books and they're okay, which I would recommend, but not necessarily like, oh, they're my favorite. But yeah, there's some good ones, and there's some lots of good ones. But yeah, Jen Sincero and Bobby Bones are probably my two favorite, like, kind of business mindset even though Bobby Bones is not really truly about business, it's just about mindset and life in general, but it can very, very easily be applied to business. So, yeah, those are good. Those are all really good.
Awesome. What is your favorite thing to eat?
Oh, man, I love food. Can I just tell you I love food? I love food. I'm a big girl. I love cooking food. I love eating food. I love going out to eat. I love food.
I was just in Nashville, and I always tell my friends, like, when I travel somewhere, there's no eating at chains. There's no eating fast food. Like, I want good food where I can, like, eat. Like, give me good
food. I have the same rule when we go places. So when you were in Nashville, total side note, did you eat at Puckett's Grocery?
No.
Oh, next time you go back, you have to eat at Puckett's. Best food ever. Puckett's is really good. Right now, we just came back from Topsail Island, North Carolina, and over next to the island, there's this little bagel guy in the strip mall. This is the craziest thing I'll probably say today. There's this bagel. We have friends that live there, so we kind of live like locals when we're there. And they have this bagel guy that they're friends with the guy that owns the shop. And he makes the most amazing jalapeno bagels. You have, like, they're the best bagels ever. And the day we left to come home, I ordered, like, I think 6 dozen. So I have, like, a freezer full of bagels. And I'm eating bagels every day. And I'm living my best life. I'm telling you.
I love it. I love me a good bagel. I mean, come on. I've never had a jalapeno bagel though.
I had never seen them anywhere else except probably the first time we went a few years ago. The first time we went, they took us there for breakfast, and it's like a little bitty, like there's like 3 tables in the place. Everybody gets their stuff to go on the way to work. There's not even a drive-through window. Like, it's in a strip mall, and you just walk in and you get your bagel and you come back out. It's awesome though. And they were like, oh, we're going to get bagels. Do you want a bagel? And I was like, sure, I love bagels. What kind do they have? And so my husband went with them, and he called, and he was like, they got jalapeno bagels. And I was like, oh, hook me up. And I was ruined after that. Like, I like bagels, but nothing is as good as one of those jalapeno. So if you ever go to North Carolina, yeah, go to the bagel guy.
That's okay. When I come to Nashville, I go to a dairy there. And okay, I live in Illinois right by Wisconsin. So, you know, I'm surrounded by dairies, but there's a dairy and they sell their own milk. And there's a chocolate milk there that I will bring it home by the cartons because is so good. So I have my chocolate milk fix in Nashville. How's that? Actually, it's out by
there. You go.
So you I get go. It.
What is it?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask.
I gotta know the chocolate milk place now.
I'll have to get you the name. I can't remember it right off my head because I just always go there. Yeah, it's fabulous. It's the best chocolate milk I've ever had. And I'll actually like be sitting here and I'll be like craving it. And I'm like, Nashville's only 7.5 hours. I could just drive down, get some chocolate milk and come back. Like, it's all good.
It's all good.
Okay. Favorite TV show, movie of all time, Netflix series. Do you watch TV?
I do watch TV. I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. Huge Walking Dead fan. I flipping love that show. I watch a lot of History Channel, watch a lot of Travel Channel. Probably my favorite show is, let's go back to that history thing, is Expedition Unknown. Have you watched the show?
I have not.
It's so good. It's not on Netflix though. Like, you have to watch it on the travel app or whatever. But man, it's so good. He like investigates like these legends in history. It's so good. So good. And he's funny. It's like a history show, but it's a it has like a funny twist to it. It's yeah, awesome. I love him.
Well, I wrote it down because I love history, and this is going to be really no judgment for me saying this, okay? Just all the grace. One of my favorite history shows is Drunk History.
I love Drunk History. I love Drunk History.
Girl. It is so good.
It is good. It's so good.
It's just like if my husband and I have some downtime and we like, I'm like, let's just watch some Drunk History. And so it's something we both can watch. And I just laugh. It is so good. And it's history. So I have a minor in history. So come on. Like,
I have a major. Yeah, a double major. And I have a degree in history. So, yeah.
There you go.
History geeks unite, huh?
I know. I love, like, and so it's just fun to see the humor in it. Okay. Tell me your favorite thing, which I think I already know because we've talked a lot about it. Your favorite thing to do when you're not working.
I love to go, well, man, I gotta pick one. I think I can work both of these things into one. How about that? I love to travel. And we travel a lot because I like almost never leave home. So when I do, I'll go a long way from home. Like we probably in the winter months go on a trip like once a month. No joke. We travel a lot. It's our only hobby. But I get to squeeze my second thing in. We'll just kind of wrap it inside of the first thing, which is travel. The second thing is I love long road trips and like loud music and singing at the top of my lungs.
I love it.
Because I'm goofy like that. So I get both in one thing. Like it's a 6-hour drive to the beach. So I can sing, you know, lots of Fall Out Boy along the way. It's great. It's awesome. I love it.
So we could totally be in a car together because I just did a whole bunch of travel. Like the last 10 days, I've pretty much been gone. And that's what I do. I just crank up that radio and I'm just like singing my heart out.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. My husband's looking at me like, you've lost your mind. And I'm like, yeah, you married me. So, yeah, it's on you.
It's on you. That's right. I love it. Last question, and everyone says it's the hardest, but I think you're going to be amazing at it. Those last words for our listeners to take away. If it's the only thing that they take away from the entire thing, what is it that you would want them, that tweetable, I don't tweet, but that tweetable, that just amazing takeaway?
That's really hard.
Everybody says that.
I think if you're talking about business and success and that kind of thing, nothing else is going to work until your mind is right. Mm-hmm. You can take all the courses and read all the books and learn all the things. But if your mind, in your mind, if you don't believe that you deserve what it is you're seeking, you're never going to find it.
That was amazing words. Thank you. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode with Gina. It was so much fun to bring you this amazing guest. If you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? And if you could please leave a review, that's like a virtual hug and just helps us so much get this podcast out. I would love for you to hear this sweet review from Marnie Ossenberg, who actually did one of the podcasts, but she writes, "I always love a good conversation with Angie. She's down to earth and full of heart to build a community with women. You can't go wrong here." Marnie, we love you. Guys, thanks for being here. And until next week, keep moving forward.